You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Just coming in, according to the Shelby County, Tennessee Sheriff Floyd Bonner, two deputies have been, in his words, relieved of duty pending an investigation. This after he tweets that he has concerns about the two who appeared on the scene following the physical confrontation between police and Tyree Nichols. There are reports after the Memphis police released video showing the beating of Tyree Nichols. More on that from CBS's Skylar Henry.
Highly disturbing video released by the city of Memphis shows the police beating of Tyree Nichols on January 7th.
You might get sprayed again.
The 29-year-old father was stopped near his home on suspicion of reckless driving. He died 3 days later. The five officers involved were fired and are now facing second-degree murder charges. More than an hour of footage was released. It shows the officers tasing Nichols, and then he runs away. At a second location, officers are seen holding him down and beating him repeatedly while he screams for his mother.
Reporter Chris Fox has been watching demonstrations in Memphis.
Protesters have shut down I-55. They're heading towards downtown Memphis, walking very slowly, occasionally stopping. They're holding signs saying, "I am Tyree," and "Justice for Tyree." The goal in this case is to stop commerce. They're chanting, "They took our lives, so we're taking their money." Chris Fox for CBS News, Memphis.
There have also been demonstrations in Boston, Philadelphia, and New York and Washington, D.C. Body cam and video surveillance footage of the break-in and subsequent attack on Paul Pelosi, husband and former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, has been released publicly. CBS's Steve Futterman reports.
The body cam video shows officers arriving at the Pelosi home in Northern California. They knock on the door. When it's opened,
"What's going on, man?"
Good. Paul Pelosi is seen next to his attacker, David DePapp. DePapp is holding Pelosi's hand and carrying a hammer.
"Drop the hammer."
"Nope."
Hey. What is going on right now?
I'm not getting an answer. I'm probably.
At that point, Pelosi seems to pull away from DePapp. DePapp then swings the hammer towards Pelosi. DePapp is eventually arrested.
"Give me your f***ing hand. Give me your f***ing hand."
Steve Futterman, CBS News.
At least seven people were shot and killed near a synagogue in Jerusalem today on Holocaust Remembrance Day. The shooter, who was a Palestinian and affiliated with Hamas, was killed by police. CBS's Robert Berger has
more. The big dilemma for Israel now is how do you respond? Was he part of a bigger terror cell? Was he acting alone? And whether or not Israel would take action in Gaza, which then could bring rocket fire from there and you could have a major...
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin, you horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cans of water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, "That's rad." It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes.
It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
It's a really simple application, but then at the bottom, it's going to say it's required, so you have to put something.
Oh, cool.
You do have to put something, so why not put As Goes Wisconsin?
Even though Brian Kelly, who's coming up next on Dueling Tangents with Luke Mathers, did mention yesterday that his life was potentially in harm's way.
I know, and I love Brian, and I'll miss Brian, but...
We will miss Brian.
We'll miss our Russian mafia.
Oh, he's the best.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin. Happy Friday. TGIF. M-effers. I'm so happy that the weekend is here.
I think we're all happy the weekend is here.
But speaking of that, I'm glad to report Brian did not win, but he is alive.
Brian Kelly is still alive. We know that for certain. We heard from him this morning.
We did hear from him this morning. Yes. But in fact, we also heard this morning that indeed, not a lot of fanfare, but in the, you know, maybe some a little more official numbers to be rolled out later today or next week. But thank you to everyone who took our advice, took advantage of the $1 million ad giveaway, and listed Jane and Kristen, because apparently we won. But it was never actually a competition.
No, of course not. Just a friendly in-housey kind of thing. But yes, thank you so very much.
Yes, absolutely. And so we are now, for anyone who did take advantage, now the processing begins and the salespeople start figuring out who's where and which region and
what's the best messaging for you
exactly.
And all that stuff. It's really exciting.
So more to come. And I have to say, you know, as much as I love our promos, I'm excited to get some new things on rotation during the ad breaks.
Definitely.
You know, it's nice to spice it up. So I'm very much looking forward to hearing all of the new small businesses, Wisconsin businesses that we're going to get on air. Because, you know, things get redundant.
A little bit.
All right. Well, we have a fun Friday show.
Busy show.
I'm very excited because on Wednesday we discussed a certain Brookfield alderman who did not mince words as far as what he feels about affordable housing and apparently how he feels about Wauwatosa and West Allis. So
yes.
Here to expound on his very gracious response to that story, coming in at 1:30 today in the final hour, is none other than the mayor of West Allis, Mr. Dan Devine.
He's
going to
be
here.
Yeah, I'm so excited. He's going to talk about all the great things that are going on in West Allis, because there really are lots of great things going on. I found a song just for him.
Oh, do you think he'll have as much of an emotional reaction as Mayor Katie Rosenberg did?
No, because this one's really bad.
Okay. So that's coming up at 1:30. I'm very excited. He is a lovely, lovely person. And then prior to that, during the noon hour, we are going to talk to Shannon Ross, who's been on the show before, but he is the founder of The Community, which is an organization that works both with current incarcerated people and helping them plan their life for when they're going to be get out, but also redefining the narrative as far as people who have been released after serving their time. And because there, as of January 19th, there's a new art exhibit in downtown Milwaukee that's all art from either formerly incarcerated or currently incarcerated people. And I was reading the article from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. That's how I found out about it. So I was like, Shannon, come back on and let's talk about this because it sounds great. Because the art gallery and the person who curated all of it, like the way they talk about it, like this is not like a charity. Like the art is incredible. And so I've seen some of the paintings and the work that's done is like, and like they also went into how people teach themselves to do art and how a lot of them like learn from Bob Ross, which I think is amazing.
That is priceless.
And so I'm very excited to talk about that with Shannon in the next hour. But to kick off this hour, you know, this was news that broke yesterday. And I think some of our other colleagues on different shows spent a fair amount of time talking about it.
They did.
And I have less concern. Well, let's just talk about what it is. So yesterday, Daniel Bice, who is, you know, in crude terms, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's own TMZ reporter to a certain extent. This is the guy who, you know, this is the guy who writes the dirt, right? The stories that get leaked on both sides, you know, and both sides hate him, but both sides also, he's the person that they leak stuff to because he's going to be the guy that writes the story that seems that also ultimately always begs the question, is this fair? Is this inbounds for these political candidates? You know, there was stuff. He wrote a lot about Mandela Barnes. He's written about every candidate, basically. And so earlier, he was also the same reporter who broke the Everett Mitchell story, which I don't even know if we spent that much. Well, we did spend. We did talk about it.
Yeah, we did.
It was the same thing of, you know, is this inbounds? Because the Everett Mitchell story, who was one of the candidates for Wisconsin Supreme Court.
And a Democrat.
Yeah, on the liberal side.
Liberal side.
And there was a story about him as far as him and his ex-wife during a really ugly divorce and custody battle. His ex had accused him of sexual assault. No charge was ever brought. No crime was, you know, there was no...
There were no charges.
And so, you know, it was, and like they're on good enough terms now. It was 10 years ago, maybe even more. But Bice wrote the story. And it adds complications because of Everett Mitchell is a black man and a candidate. And what does that do for what the fodder becomes once if he were to make it through the primary to the general? So there was that story. And now Jennifer Doro, who is a candidate who is more conservative and has pretty big name recognition because she was the judge in the Waukesha parade. Her son potentially,
allegedly,
is implicated in a fentanyl overdose at UWM.
A fatal
fentanyl overdose. And so the story that Bice wrote is largely on the point of view of the father of the young man who died and the suspicion and kind of hearsay of friends that his son had gotten these pills from Jennifer Doro's son. And the story kind of goes on that he tried to talk to her. I don't know, like she was there for a like political event. They started talking and I guess we're having a fine conversation until he told her who he is, at which point she left the restaurant entirely. And I think, you know, I think there's to a certain extent there's this has been a 15-month investigation. Her son has not been charged.
Right.
And, you know, I think it brings up the question again of what's in bounds when it comes to candidates, not just for Supreme Court. But we talked about this when, you know, Rebecca Clayfish kind of went on record saying she's trying to recruit more women to run. But of course, they don't want to run because they see what happens to their families. And my point was how they treated your family or how they treated you. But that's a separate case. But I think, you know, because obviously, Wisconsin Right Now, which is a very right-wing publication, they immediately wrote something yesterday saying Dan Bice's reckless and unfair attack on Jennifer Doro's son and outline how this is unethical and everything that he wrote. They did not, I will say, write this when Dan Bice wrote anything about Everett Mitchell.
No kidding.
And And, you know, I think it is. It's like, are your kids in bounds when you run for a candidacy? And the only reason why in this situation without having more information is like, is there backdoor dealings of why he had, if he actually, if there is actually evidence of him being involved? I don't know. Like, I just don't know the line that you cross with these things. It's obviously a more salacious story as far as, is there more there that his parents are protecting him and that the range of outcomes for drug dealers in this country are very wide. And, you know, if he actually is someone who is dealing deadly drugs, that there has been no, even if it's not so much a tie to this person's death, but as far as just in general and figuring out, is this person dealing drugs? And so, I don't know, you know, I thought it was, it brings up kind of the question of like, what is in bounds as far as you get to know candidates in a race that's already weird, right? The this is a weird scenario that we're in as far as the most important race that will absolutely be influential in the outcome of our democracy, the 2024 election, if we get new maps, where the abortion criminal ban goes, like, this is the deciding vote for so many things, yes, of the direction of which Wisconsin will go, and potentially the country will go, because Wisconsin's swing stateness is very important nationally. And so I obviously, so much is on the line, and it's just, I don't know. Are kids in bounds? Are your kids in bounds?
But he's 19.
Yeah.
He's not a kid. He is legally an adult. I think if they're under 18, I don't think they're fair game. But if they're adults, and yeah.
But what about the thing, like, when they're in the same way? Because it's two, what I find similar about this and the Everett Mitchell story is in both cases, there was no charges. And so, I mean, and to his credit, this is for Tobias's credit, he wrote both stories, right? There wasn't one where he wrote it and one where he didn't write it, because using some argument of them, there being charges or not being charges.
Right.
In both cases, there were not charges, but you put this out into the world and obviously people are going to run with it and use it one way or another. And the other thing, I actually heard this, I think I heard this on Devils yesterday, which is a good point of, this probably came from the Kelly campaign.
I'd heard that too. That's a really interesting, really interesting theory.
Because, I mean, why wouldn't you save this for the general to see who makes it through?
If you were the Democrats.
If you were on the liberal backing Janet Protasiewicz or Everett Mitchell or both, would you save this and for closer to the election when it will be more top of mind for people versus now? And I don't know. I'm interested as far as if it sticks at all. And this sways people's opinions, because it feels like there wasn't necessarily a lot that implicated her or her husband as far as wrongdoing in, like, messing with the investigation. But it's just another kind of thing that's out there.
It could also elicit sympathy. There are other parents, I'm sure, who are struggling with their kids who have drug problems or are dealing drugs or all of that.
That's true. Well, there's another Jennifer Doro story that I did not see in any Wisconsin outlets, but in a national one about a... I think I missed my opportunity to get married at a gun range, is all I'm going to say. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
President, I am the judge. I am the judge. Everybody knows that I am the judge. I am the judge. I am the judge.
Ty Christian from Lords of the Trident. Can you say Max Inc. Radio rocks, Jimmy K. is awesome in Japanese?
Sure. Let's see. How do I say rocks? Let me see. Sugoi! Max Inc. Radio wa sugoi datta omoimasu. I just said you're great, you know.
Thank you. You're great too.
Original local music from Wisconsin. It's Max Inc. Radio on Civic Media. Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight. We are local music.
The Devil's Advocates.
Now, we've met Ted Cruz more than once. Once
in Wisconsin. Oh, yes. He has very slippery hands.
And once in Ishiwaka, Indiana.
He was so desperate, he literally walked into this diner with families eating and shook every single
person's hand, whether they wanted him to or not. And some of the kids are like, what, Bobby?
He was invading lots of bubbles.
Bobby, make the greasy man go away. I can smell the desperation, Mommy.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A winter weather advisory begins at 6 a.m. this morning and continues until 3 a.m. Sunday morning. Mainly cloudy overnight with lows around 14. Westerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Snow likely tomorrow, high of 22. Snow likely tomorrow night, 15. Overcast. 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow through Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
We are very excited for the weekend. You are welcome to join the conversation at 844-967-2789. Now, you know, I'm used to getting our Wisconsin news from our Wisconsin outlets, but then every once in a while, and especially, I think it's going to happen a lot and already is happening a lot in regards to the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
We're not the only ones who are watching this.
No. New York Times, I think, this week had a big article about, you know, the most important race that you didn't know about. I think Politico had a similar article a week or so ago. But this is from Jezebel, and I was so surprised that I was going through my different kind of places that I collect news. Sure. Usually Jezebel is good for a funny feminist slant on different stories. And, you know, it's different than the Journal Sentinel. But
no doubt about that.
Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate is trying to open a gun range that serves alcohol.
Excuse me?
Yeah. Conservative Judge Jennifer Doro and her husband Brian are trying to rebrand a gun range linked to an incident in which a bullet grazed a pregnant woman.
Okay.
So it's exactly what it sounds like. So basically, according to local news, Jennifer Doro, Waukesha County Judge, and her husband are developing a indoor gun range that is also an event space. So it could host weddings and other events and would also serve alcohol. Which I feel like isn't part of the concealed carry or whenever you have your gun on you, you can't have any alcohol in your system?
I will check. I'm not sure about that.
I thought that was the deal. But the couple requested a Class B liquor license to sell beer and wine to members and guests of the clubhouse. And the range also will sell firearms and it's a shooting range. And so they devised an alcohol safety policy consisting of hand stamps to prevent members from entering the shooting range after drinking and a breathalyzer to be used on suspicious individuals. So at least in the plan, there is a safeguard between if you've taken a drink and you can no longer go back and shoot your gun. But this was Heartland Sportsman's Club.
Okay.
And they're renaming it
Bullets and Booze.
Bullets and, yes. Well, we know what the name of today's episode is going to be.
It's free. Take it. Go ahead.
Bullets and Booze.
Bullets and Booze. It's yours.
So it's now called Delafield Oaks Range. And when it was still Heartland Sportsman's Club, that gun club had a series of legal battles over the last decade after the city revoked the club's permit in 2010, when a bullet grazed a pregnant woman who was dining on the outdoor patio at the Delafield Brew House about a quarter mile away.
I thought this was an indoor range.
I don't know. Maybe the new one is an indoor range?
Okay, that must be.
But
and by the way, a Wisconsin concealed carry says under the concealed carry license, patrons can only carry a concealed weapon if they have a concealed carry license and maintain absolute sobriety.
So, I mean, from a business point of view, I get it. Because alcohol sales, like nothing has higher margins than alcohol sales. And so if it's going to be both an event space and a gun range, you know, you want to get that liquor money. But it seems like it's a slippery slope of, you know, because I feel like at these club scenarios, you know, a little like, come on, man, like a little.
You'll let me go back.
Yeah,
I only had a couple.
Only had one.
Exactly.
And especially if it's kind of like a members only type club in the old boys club.
Well,
I feel like as someone who works in the legal system, I wouldn't touch this with a 10-foot pole.
I want to hear it. What about freedom?
Well, also, because her husband worked for Homeland Security under Trump, right?
So I think so, yeah.
To each their own. I'm not, you know, I'm kind of making fun of guns, but it's not really. Like, I get it. If you like guns, it's more of the very thin line that a place serving alcohol and allowing people to shoot guns feels like. I feel like you'd want to keep those two things separate.
I don't know. It'll be the perfect venue for shotgun weddings.
Oh, ba-da-ba. Jane got extra sleep last night, I think.
I think it's the caffeine.
You're pretty witty this morning. You know, again, maybe nothing there, but just a little bit more information as we... I feel like I know the most about Jennifer Doro so far. We do know that it was separately confirmed. I asked someone recently who is much closer to the Republican conservative side of Wisconsin. I don't have a lot of those people in my life, but some.
Sure.
And I asked him, I said, does Dan Kelly really wear a cape? And he started laughing so hard. And then he came back and said, only sometimes.
He wears a cape?
Apparently. I feel like Brian and Luke have talked about this before, but apparently that is like for special occasions. Instead of like a pea coat, he has a special cape.
I'm kind of ashamed to admit that I am pro cape.
Are you pro cape?
Oh, definitely. When Trump announced Space Force, it's like, how can you have Space Force without capes?
That's true.
I think everyone should have a cape.
What about the cape? Is it the
It's the
fashion?
Swishing. It's the swish, the whoosh factor.
And is it the like the draping nature of it and like the tucking in of your arms?
And the swoosh.
And the swoosh.
And the you can take the edges of your cape and swoosh things.
All right. Well, as a weekly, if not daily reminder, make sure you're registered to vote. The primary is February 21st. Also be paying attention to any of the school board races. If there's additional primaries for any of the local and county races in your area, you should be able to check your ballot on myvote.wi.gov. That should be up there already when you type in your address. You can also check your registration there, but make a plan to vote for February 21st. And then again for the general on April 4th. When we come back, you know, they want to make it harder for people to get any kind of public assistance, and yet... Then there's stories that highlight how hard it already is. So we will talk about that when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake, always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News special report. After watching the publicly released video of the confrontation between Memphis police and Tyree Nichols, who died days later, the Shelby County Sheriff says he has concerns about two deputies who appeared on the scene after the confrontation. They've been relieved of duty pending an investigation. Five fired Memphis officers are charged in Nichols' death. President Biden spoke to Nichols' mother today.
I told her I had some idea of what that loss was like, and that although it's impossible to believe now, the time will come when his memory brings a smile before a tear. And she says she already is thinking about what he would want her to do, which is very positive.
Protesters in Memphis call for change.
I don't think it's enough just for the MPD to arrest them after the fact. There need to be, like, systemic changes in place so that this doesn't happen again. And so that's why we're here tonight, to try to fight for that.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
To As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. No matter where you're listening, thank you for tuning in on this Friday. A reminder that if you miss any part of today's show, today, any day, you can always listen to it as a podcast, which you can find at asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts. And as always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. Good find on that song. Who sings that?
Etta James.
Ooh.
Oh, she's classic.
Great.
Yeah.
So last week we spent some time talking about something that's going to be on your April ballot as far as shall childless, able-bodied adults who are currently receiving public assistance have to be looking for a job in order to continue to get public assistance.
Which they kind of already have to
do. They said welfare. Which welfare is a umbrella term for multiple different programs that all have different qualifying criteria. But yes, in most situations, that number of who those people that actually applies to, because a lot of the programs you have to be a parent, a lot of the programs are for elderly or disabled people. for unemployment, you have to be looking for work in order to receive it. So it basically kind of just looks at like unemployed people who are childless and don't have a job and are able-bodied. Isn't that on Badger Care?
Well, and aren't these senior citizens?
That's also a good point. I mean, I don't know how many different checkboxes, because I tried to find this out. Like, I was talking to a legislative analyst, trying to be like, how do you find what this number is? And it's too many different boxes to be looking at. But part of the problem, when you add in so many hoops for people who are in need to jump through,
right,
it also delays what they need. And, you know, this was such bigger news during the pandemic when it was unemployment insurance and people who flooded the systems because a lot of people were unemployed in 2020. And
the system just couldn't handle it.
The system couldn't handle it. The protocols within the Department of Workforce, or like who was supposed to be handing these out, is set up in a way that like tries to make it hard. And now a similar thing is happening, or has been happening, with disability. So more than 2,000 people in Milwaukee are waiting for the Social Security Administration's approval to receive disability benefits. In Madison, more than 1,000 people are waiting. So in Milwaukee, the average wait time is 368 days.
What?
So over a year. And if you are disabled, likely you are not, it's not like you can, you're necessarily working. And in Madison's, it's not much better. It's 310 days of how long people are waiting to finally get their benefits that they pay into, right?
Right.
And it takes an average of 227 days statewide, which is up 90 days from where it was in 2019.
Wow.
And 3 months is a long time when you need that money.
Well, what if you need rent? What if you need rent? Where are you going to go for a year?
Well, and apparently, this is a story from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Corey Hess, and in part of their public investigator series. And I mean, it's just the stories that these are the stories that if you saw it on a crowdfunding page, you'd probably donate it to.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the story starts with her, with Corey highlighting a hospital social worker named Nicholas Johnson fill out dozens of pages of paperwork for Social Security disability insurance in September after he woke up from a coma and realized he was paralyzed. Johnson, 24 years old, was one of the 877 people shot in Milwaukee in 2022. He was in an argument with the mother of his daughter when the woman's boyfriend allegedly shot him 4 times. One of the bullets went through Johnson's left arm, into his chest, and hit his spinal cord. He can no longer walk or work at his job at Subway or as a part-time clothing designer. Johnson missed 2 phone calls from the Social Security office while he was in physical therapy. He started the application over for a 3rd time in early January. With no income, Johnson can't pay rent, so he moved in with his grandmother, but her home is too small to accommodate his wheelchair, so family members come over daily to carry him from room to room.
Oh my goodness.
And this is just one story, right? And, you know, like so many things, the pandemic was kind of the point of which the gridlock increased and makes it as bad as it is. Partially it's because it's workforce shortage as far as who's there to even process these claims. But it's also the fact that we make it really hard. We make it really, really hard because about 80% of the claims are denied during the first review, and closer to 90% get denied on the second review before the case goes to a hearing, which is where it's most likely has the highest chance of being approved at the hearing. So like you are getting delayed and delayed because we're all paying into this. There's a bunch of criteria you have to fulfill to actually get it, which I get. Because you don't want people taking advantage of the system.
Well, I was just going to say, wouldn't it have been nice if people who applied for PPP loans had the same scrutiny?
Yeah.
They wouldn't have been buying Maseratis and stuff?
Although, you know, I was listening to a podcast talking about that, and people from that department are very defensive about that.
About the PPPs?
Well, the department that moved as quickly as they did to
get the money out.
And it's kind of hindsight, it's always 2020. But as far as having less barrier to entry for that, to just get people help in their, in that case, they stand by their decision to do that, even though Tom Brady and who else got, like, the Kardashians got
a bunch of people got a whole bunch of money. That's baloney. Like, I volunteer to be the baggage checker to make sure that your bag will fit in your carry-on. I volunteer to go through these applications.
Okay.
Happily.
But this is, so this is what is required to qualify for Social Security disability insurance. So they have to prove that they are insured, meaning they've worked long enough and paid Social Security taxes. They then must prove they have a medical condition that meets the government's strict definition of disability.
Okay.
They must also go through a 5-step evaluation that includes proving they haven't been able to work for a year and that they are unable to go back to any of the jobs they have held in the last 15 years. And then a person's earnings, in whatever way they are getting earnings, has to be less than $1,470 a month. So they have to be making less than $17,640 a year in order to be considered to qualify for disability. And they're not allowed to have more than $2,000 in your savings account. So, like, they want to keep you poor. And this is one of the better quotes from the article, and said, they don't want you to have money. They don't want you to save money. They just want you to exist. The system was designed to help people get out of institutions and into the community. But right now, it's not benefiting anyone. It's encouraging people not to work because they're scared to lose their benefits, which is the same thing with Badger Care, of the cliff. And because there's no gradation of, all right, so you're making a little bit more money, you get a little less benefits, but you get some. It's this cliff of
all or nothing.
You make $100 more than what the threshold is. Your life's not really improving, but now all of a sudden you've lost all these benefits. And, like, that makes anyone who's ever worked in anything that requires an incentive structure, like sales, this is an awful incentive structure to get people, like, working again.
Yeah.
And, like, and choosing to improve their life by making it this hard and not having the help be available, but then also not have it fall off this cliff once you start to improve your situation.
And I think, too, this story in the Journal Sentinel is a really important reminder when you hear news stories about shootings and, you know, they say a non-fatal gunshot wound.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't mean that their life isn't completely altered for the rest of their life.
I thought about that similarly of, yeah, I mean, I guess it was. It was with gunshots. And in the mass shootings that we have so often, and we talk about, like, the death counts, I feel like that always gets higher attention than the injured.
Yes.
Because the injured, like, when they just reference injury, you'd have no idea the severity of the injury. It's just kind of like,
it's a blanket.
And how much your just entire life is altered, it can be, because of something like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, it's a really great article as far as having a little bit more understanding of what's going on with people who need help. And if we're, all what I can tell, qualify for this, and yet we've just made it so hard for them to do it. Because I don't know if you've ever tried to navigate a government website.
No.
Like, I'm a pretty tech-savvy. I'm a tech-savvy person, pretty smart. I don't have a lot of patience, or my attention span's not that long. So those things, like, the couple times I've ever had to look into doing that is, like, the amount of time I just give up because I'm like, this is too complicated, let alone someone who, like, maybe didn't finish high school trying to fill that stuff out. Like, the complication is the point, it seems like.
Well, and you have a laptop and you have Wi-Fi in your own home.
Yes.
And again, this is the assumption that all of us have that, and not all of us have that.
Yeah. Well, for some good news, the economy. We keep hearing about this looming recession. And how's it going? In the words of Larry David, apparently.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Apparently, it's pretty good. Yesterday, the government reported that the U.S. GDP grew by 2.9% in Q4, which topped expectations. And it also means that despite inflation and a looming recession and tech and all these layoffs, that apparently people are still spending.
We're still buying stuff.
People are still buying stuff. And so it's not only, we've not only regained the all of the lost output from COVID, but it's, we've also returned to the growth trajectory that we had before the pandemic. So like,
and don't forget, we lost a million people.
I know.
We lost a million people. Granted, not all of them were in the workforce. Many of them were elderly, but still.
I know. And so it's just, this is where it's, I just don't understand. Like, how is this, the rhetoric that gets spouted on the news and media versus what's actually happening, because I feel like there's always conflicting messaging on, so how are we actually doing and what measurements are we actually supposed to be looking at? But apparently, I mean, this could be a sign of the actual soft landing that the Fed was trying to do
by raising rates,
Raising rates. And so, you know, raising the rates was hopefully going to knock down inflation. And so far, so good. And it's a resilient labor force. And but like the economists who are combing through the GDP report did find a few warning signs that indicate a recession. So consumers are pulling back. I guess personal consumption came in below forecasts, but we are still spending. The housing market has plummeted. It shrank as 27%, which is, as someone who just bought a house and is currently, I'll talk about that later today, is currently dealing with our first homeowner dilemma as of yesterday.
It's wonderful owning a home.
We'll talk about that a little bit later. But and then also companies are slowing down their spending. But so far, pretty good. And so we'll take it from there. But when we come back, TikTok's not going down without a fight. So we're going to talk about it. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Pat, I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw, A winter weather advisory begins at 6 a.m. this morning and continues until 3 a.m. Sunday morning. Mainly cloudy overnight with lows around 14. Westerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Snow likely tomorrow, high of 22. Snow likely tomorrow night, 15. Overcast. 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow through Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. Reminder that we love hearing from you. So if you have a topic that we should cover or a guest we should have on, shoot us an email, asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. Is that Iggy Azalea?
Yes, it is.
Is that new? I feel like she's been, I feel like she had a hot moment and then we...
The moment is over.
The moment is over. But speaking of viral, you know, as of this week, I think it was because we talked about either was it this week or last week that we were talking about UT Austin, along with a couple other universities have said no more TikTok.
Right.
University of Wisconsin system bans TikTok on use of system devices. That was this week as well. So, you know, the fight, this is real, but TikTok is not going down without a fight because they obviously know how much money there is. I mean, there's over 100 million monthly users of in the U.S. alone.
So explain to me how they make money. Is it
ads?
Ads that pop up as you're looking mm-hmm. at?
Just like any other social media.
Okay.
I mean, basically, you have to remember anything that's ever free, you are the product.
Without a doubt.
Your eyeballs, your... I mean, it's the same thing. It's like we provide a free radio show and we have to sell advertising to be able to pay for the radio show.
Right.
Right? And it's the same thing with, you know, all the newsletters I get that eventually once they have a big enough audience, they can put advertising on there. I mean, because the other options are a membership. Right. And so ultimately, like all of these social media platforms, if you're not going to be able to pay, if you're not paying to use them, they are using your information or your eyeballs to make money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they have, and you can tell, I would say, it's maybe not as bad as Instagram feels as far as how many ads you get, but, like, there's a fair amount of ads now. And it's really interesting because you can just tell the, because one of the things with TikTok, as we've talked about, is, like, the how quickly trends happen and things, people are kind of doing the same things, using the same music. And because all these corporations that are trying to advertise on TikTok obviously have a chain of command and like a decision-making process
sure.
that is not always the fastest. So then they find that by the time some poor social media manager has gotten approval to do this idea that they have, it's like very late to the game and sometimes looks a little cringy.
Missed your moment.
I saw something the other day that it was organic content for a Gen Z advertising agency. So it was like their TikTok account, but the service they provide and the company that they are is, you know, trying to help companies talk to Gen Z. And like basically the sentiment of the video that I watched was POV, me trying to explain to one of our clients that no one is interested in your product. Gen Z would rather see it get run over by a car.
That was their messaging?
Kind of. I'm just like how chaotic and like the very clean aesthetic and like aspirational stuff that sometimes is more attributed to millennial women is not the feeling of Gen Z and they don't want to be marketed to and advertising. And so like trying, you know, how much money is involved in trying to get the right messaging towards young people. And so it's basically just an advertising agency that's like, we can help you do that because we are that. Anyways, I digress. So TikTok is trying, they have doubled down. Their lobbying arm has grown very large in DC and they have this thing called Project Texas. And so they are going on the offensive in Washington, DC, and they have a stepped up effort to counter the calls to ban TikTok in the U.S. This is over its Chinese ownership. And so they're spending a ton of money trying to convince detractors that it doesn't, it being TikTok, doesn't, or ByteDance, doesn't take marching orders from China. And so they've spent over $1 billion between Project Texas, and part of that is lobbying in an effort to rebuild the app on U.S. servers.
They're not going to do that.
What do you mean they're not going to do that?
Well, aren't we banning this from all government?
No, this is their... So Project Texas is their, is TikTok's project to try to convince...
them to let it back on. Let it,
well, not let it. It's not actually hasn't been banned yet.
Right.
And so so basically, they've been spending all this money on federal lobbying, but like the... who they're partnering with, which I think is really interesting, because I do not think of this company as... at one point, it probably was. But right now, I don't think of it as like the pinnacle of innovation and like nimble, agile, cutting edge technology. But their partner, and probably part of the reason why it's called Project Texas, is Oracle. The like massive CRM, like B2B behemoth systems company. and so... yeah, so it's basically they're working with them to try to have like all of this different ways that like all of the servers being on the U.S. So all the people who are like all of the information that is on coming from U.S. users is going to be stored here. There's like a like all of these people who are involved that are U.S. based. And so they have partnered with Texas company Oracle, and Oracle is helping to host the user data and running the traffic through its cloud infrastructure. And they're also reviewing source code and all their like content moderation tools. And like, this is their big effort. So we'll see if it works. But it's also weird to think of like, if their last ditch effort is like have Oracle buy TikTok. Cause or I don't know, Oracle's like, do you know what Oracle is? Have you ever had to work inside an Oracle system?
No.
So like, do you know what Salesforce is?
No.
The radio person. So Salesforce.
I have had no other life, Kristen. I don't know anything outside
of
radio.
Salesforce is like cloud computing as far as, you know, salespeople and marketing, and like basically an entire company's like company information can live on this. But before there was Salesforce, which was all in the cloud. So then all you needed to do was have a login.
Mm-hmm.
And you could be on any computer. And as long as you logged into your, it's like Facebook. It's like all these things. But prior to that, it was systems that were on like on company grounds and had to be like implemented in like a very heavy-handed way. And that's what Oracle was. And I'm sure now they have more cloud systems. But like that was the older company that Salesforce like disrupted. And so it's really random to me that this is who TikTok chose to like work hand-in-hand in. But what do I know? Your eyes just glazed over a while ago.
You know, yeah. The only thing that I take away from this that gives me any joy at all is the thought of TikTok lobbyists having to make their presentations in 30 seconds or less while they're dancing in front of congressmen.
There you go.
I think that should be a requirement.
But it's also, it's not unique to TikTok, right? So both Meta and Amazon spend way more than TikTok has spent. So Meta spent over $19.15 million in lobbying in 2022. Amazon spent $21.38 million. And, you know, just a reminder that there is a lot of people in your lawmakers' ears at every turn trying to influence what they're going to do.
Can we not call it lobbying and just call it bribes? It'd be so much easier.
So much easier. All right. Well, we're going to go to top of the hour news. And when we come back, some immigration updates and a quiz. Do you think you could pass the oral 10-question citizen test? Jane and I are going to take it. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. Self-monitoring is power. Visit managerbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association, in partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.